caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With delirious joy.
Yay.
They've joined the Mark Unger Show. The show that's all about
marriage.
Indeed. I'm, of course, your host, the one, the only Mark Unger, here with my Mark Unger bobblehead. So when are we going to mass produce these things? I'm sure there's at least 12 people out there who'd like one.
Mm-hmm. Target practice.
You can use
I'll
it for target practice.
Blam, blam, blam.
Joining me is always the very lovely and charming and sometimes violent Diane Brierley. And of course, the incredible Philip James Gunger, heir to the Gunger throne. Which really means nothing. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer with a name like Timothy Robert Ray. Serial killers always have three first names. Anyway, he's pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of the show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. Here's how the show works. You get to send an email about anything. Nothing is verboten or off limits. We will take all the questions no other pastors will take. Or any broadcasters will take, we'll take them. Mm-hmm. If it's a legit question, bring it on. We want to hear and try and help you in any way that we can. But this is how it works. You get to stay totally anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest. This is a show of brutal honesty. If you're not ready for brutal honesty and you're concerned about how someone responds to your feelings, this is not the show for you. If we like what you say, we will celebrate you. If we don't, we will castigate you with either giving you a swirly, sticking your head in the toilet and flushing and hoping the water will snap you out of your craziness. If we think you're really nuts, we'll give you the goat button. Why a goat? We don't know. And if you blabber too much, you get the chicken. All right. What have you got there for us today?
I think you're actually going to like this one very much.
Stupid is as stupid does, sir.
It's five reasons that you should not have a must-have list when you're dating.
Okay, you know what a must-have list is? This is, and we know, I know so many singles yes. who are encouraged to do this. Sit down and make your list of what you must have in a man. And of course, for these women, it becomes like a small novel. Mm-hmm. And they wonder why you're all single till 48. Good grief. All right.
The first reason, you may be dangerously close to thinking like an adolescent.
Ooh, what does
they
that
say
mean?
There's nothing wrong with thinking like a beginner, that is, if you are a beginner. But if you've passed chronological adolescence, revising and refining your must-have list is a naive exercise in futility. The secret to relationship success has nothing to do with your partner fulfilling idiosyncratic criteria.
Oh, say that again. The secret to relationship success has nothing to do with fulfilling your idiosyncratic
criteria.
Idiosyncratic.
Success depends on both partners practicing mature love, taking responsibility for their own happiness and unhappiness.
Oh, man. If you could get Christians to
just
get that
right there.
Oh, my goodness.
If you could just get that one right there.
You single people. No wonder you're all still single. Mm-hmm. Good grief. All right.
The second reason, you may be under the influence of conventional wisdom.
Or hard alcohol.
Yeah. Conventional wisdom supports ideas like high expectations for romantic partners, such as, you make me want to be a better man. You are my true north. You complete me. That's all the conventional Hollywood.
Those were my three pickup lines.
Well, There you go.
That's how Phil got any chicks, was using these words.
Mm-hmm. All right. Must have list, no matter what the particulars, are your personal spin on conventional wisdom's poisonous pit of unrealistic expectations, which is very true.
Unrealistic expectations.
Very
that's
true.
That's exactly what happens. That's why those of you who do get married are so stinking miserable with each other. All right. Number three.
You may be focusing on fantasy rather than reality.
Do you think?
Must have lists are about the unattainable dream that love and life can be easy. You know, like the Minnie Riperton song.
The impossible dream.
That's not that song.
Oh.
But I want to hear the Minnie Riperton version. You know that song, Loving You is Easy. You know, where she sings really high. You know that song? Kind of like that.
Is that that
Loving
song?
Yeah. It's easy because you're beautiful. Uh-huh. You know when she does that? Yeah. That's what I was waiting for you to do. Okay.
Right.
Number four, you may be assuming that a not quite perfect mate can be renovated.
Here's a big one.
Emotionally mature individuals.
Oh, Pastor,
no.
I married the devil. Was he the devil before you married him? Well, yes. Then what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm. Emotionally mature.
I can change him.
Emotionally mature individuals know that romantic interests are not renovation projects.
That's good.
And the fifth one, you may be neglecting essential self-correction. That's where you take responsibility for your own happiness.
Own happiness.
If you have a history of being taken advantage of by manipulative love interests, putting not a manipulator on your must-have list means you are neglecting essential self-correction.
That's really essential. Good. Where'd you get this one?
I think it might have been off of Match.com. I'm not
Interesting.
Certain. I'll have to go back and see where I got it.
I'd buy in all this.
Mm-hmm. I knew you would like it.
And so many single Christian singles do all five.
Yep. And that's why they
have such a bad
track record.
Yeah, I know it. That's exactly why. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. Well, that's our opening salvo. We will come back with your emails about love, marriage, relationships, and anything else you would like to know what we think about. We'll do that right after this break.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
This program of the Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in the galactic universe of audio books, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, blah, 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 blah. Now, because they are a wonderful sponsor of this program and because I have such incredible influence over the minds of other people.
He can't influence his own mind, but he has
influence
over...
I can't influence my own mind, but I can influence the people at Audible.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they've done. If you'll go to audiblepodcast.com/Gungor, G-U-N-G-O-R, they will give you a free download. Take any book, any periodical, anything, stuff you've been wanting to read, you haven't had a chance to get to, you haven't gotten around to it, don't have time to read, well, you do have time to listen. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Gungor, and you will get a free download. Any title, which is pretty good. Also, you'll get a 30-day free trial as well. So go there, check it out, and see how it works for you. So any books that you've been putting off and you think, man, I wish I had time to read them. Well, maybe you don't, but you can listen. Audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Do it today. Ooh, it's funky. Funky, groovy. The music of the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. Very funky today. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You're listening to and or watching the Mark Gunger Show, a show about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. What have you got for
numero
uno? Okay,
two questions.
Okay.
This one's from Lithuania.
Lithuania.
The first question...
So please send me money?
No. She says, you talk a lot about pornography and masturbation and its effects for sexual life, mainly through the perspective of a man. Mm-hmm. But what about a woman? Does it affect women the same way as men, or is it different because a woman usually seeks more emotional connection?
Women who are into porn are reacting very man-like. You know, I've used this analogy many times. About 25% of men actually think, respond like women. And about 25% of women think and respond like men.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, you can't always just say all men and all women. There are women who are visually stimulated. They see a guy and hoo-hoo-hoo and they go hot and bothered and the same endorphin rush and the same addicted to those endorphins. Endorphins happens like it can for a man. And on the likewise, there are men who are much more emotional and talkative and they're, you know, that's the way they're wired that you would think more traditionally like a woman. So I don't think it's really different, dear. women who are craving this big emotional connection generally are not the ones looking at porn.
But the effects on masturbation can be the same. You can get conditioned to that as a woman that
yeah,
you
no,
can't
that's
respond.
True.
That part is...
Yeah, but that's just conditioning, but that's the same with a man. A man conditions himself to where he doesn't respond. There's women who have, because of masturbating, can never respond to a man physically. I know of women like that. They admit they masturbate 3, 4, 5 times a day and they can never have an orgasm because they've so conditioned their body to their hand, you know, that his body part doesn't do anything for them,
or
which is sad.
Or a battery-controlled device or something.
Yeah, yeah. And the same thing happens with guys. They get so used to their own hand, they can't ever become excited enough with the woman, which is very, very, very sad. When I'm against these things, I'm not just a prude. I'm not a prude at all. Mm-hmm. I just know this stuff doesn't work, and it's ruining people's sex lives. So I think, to answer your question, I think it's very, very similar.
And how would you describe the effect of pornography for a man who's not married yet but will be married if he's addicted? What would they be able to expect in their married life, both the husband and the wife?
It won't change. If you know a guy's addicted to the porn, don't marry him. Dump him. Don't even date him. Get away from him. You girls, this is a question. So many women say, I find a lady who's addicted to porn. Ask him before you, you know, when you're dating him. Even if you're Christian. A lot of these guys, Christian guys in churches, they are still horribly addicted to porn. Look at them. Say, do you have a problem with porn? You look at porn and masturbate. If they freeze and don't know how to answer, good indicator.
Stumble over their words.
Yeah, because a guy who doesn't do it, well, very comfortably, he says, no, I don't do it. I'm not there. I don't do it. Never have. Or I used to, but I don't do anymore. I mean, they'll answer you. You get an uncomfortable answer. It's time to dump the guy. Because here's what happens. You marry them, and it doesn't change. Nope. He will not be passionate about you. He will not be a lover to you. He will instead sit in a room looking at a computer, make love to himself. And then you're left what? What's the difference between now, you know, you say, well, I got married because I want to have sex. Well, you're not going to have sex with him anyway. Very little.
Right.
They tend to not be very interested in the woman. They're more interested in their fantasies, and they can't shake it. A lot of Christian guys lie to themselves, saying, well, once I get married, it'll change.
No.
It doesn't change. I hear all the time from people, women complaining that their husbands, and young women who complain to their young 20-some-year-old husband won't ever have sex with them because they would rather masturbate. This is something they picked up since they were 13 years of age, and it doesn't stop. Again, I don't have a problem discussing. Well, clearly, listen to the show. I talk about this stuff all the time. Go to my conferences. I am not a prude or embarrassed by any of this stuff. I'm telling you, the reason I'm against is it doesn't work. And that's even the light version. Not only doesn't work, it's extremely damaging. Mm-hmm. This whole porn and self-gratifying with masturbation is destroying people's lives. And that is not an exaggeration. It's literally what is happening today. And very sad. Don't go there.
Okay, she has another question.
All right.
Nope, sorry, I'm trying to get in Nancy's way. I'm sure that you'll have something to say about this. She wants to know, what is your approach to women having breast plastic surgeries, like implants? If a woman has really small breasts, is it appropriate to do implant surgery in order to be more sexy and attractive to her husband? What if her husband was addicted to porn before? I guess she's thinking...
Well, don't blend the two, because they're two separate questions, okay? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if he's addicted to porn, just wants some woman with big boobs so that you can have big boobs so that he can keep fantasizing about porn, easy answer. You don't go there.
Right.
Okay? But let's answer the other question separately. Is it okay for a woman to get implants? I think it is. We all have had work done. It's just a matter of how much work have you had
How extensive.
Done. How extensive. You know, we all cut our hair. That's work being done. We do things to our face.
We color our hair.
We color our hair, what little that we have. You know, I had a LASIK eye surgery. I used to, have you seen the old pictures
of me?
Yes,
I remember when I first met you had them.
I got like Coke bottle glasses.
Your eyes are a lie.
Yeah, just a big, okay. Why did I do LASIK? Because... You know, now I'm a public figure, and I'm in front of the cameras and everything else. I thought, you know, I want to quit looking like, you know, a fish. So I had that. You know, I've had things removed from my face, not weird, pimply, weird-looking things that, you know, the dermatologist would zzz and burn off. Why? So I can look normal, too. This isn't real. This is not what I really look like. I got big... thick glasses, and I got pimply things on my face, and one gigantic eyebrow the size of, you know, Kentucky coming across here. All that's been changed, all on purpose, so I can look more presentable to you. Even what you're looking at right now, some of it's an illusion, because there's no glasses in the glasses. There's just, I wear, because I always wear glasses, mm-hmm. and I want to look like normal, but it's distracting in the camera because the lights are kind of, I'm always moving around like this, mm-hmm. and the lights are awful and it's all weird. So I take the lenses out of these glasses so I can, you know, we do all kinds of things to present ourselves. Now, granted, surgery is a little bit more serious than burning things off, but, you know, I don't have a problem. It's just, what's the motive behind it? You want to look like a hooker and a whore? Yeah, that's wrong. But some woman who is really flat-chested and it's bothering her self-esteem, and maybe she wasn't that way, and after having babies and they suck the life literally
well, out of the balloons, for your husband,
they
want
to pop them back up. Knock yourself out.
But if it's like you want to go out there and just be the hoochie mama to have all of the guys looking at you.
See, they suck the life out of the balloons. That's what you do. You little rugrats. Breastfeeding.
No, that was a great description.
Yes, it was. Oh.
I feel like I'm going to have a hard time trusting you now, knowing that those glasses are just a lie as well.
What else is a lie, right, Phil? What else has your father lied about to you all these years?
It's all a lie. He's not really there.
All the fabrication.
So I don't. You want to know what I think? That's what I think. You disagree with me? Get in line. I don't care. I don't have a problem with it at all. Again, what's your motive? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to look like a stripper, well, yeah, come
on. And to get the attention of other guys besides your husband.
So all kinds of other men will check out your hoochie mamas, you know? So, but I don't have a problem.
What do you think about guys who want their wives to get it? What if the wife doesn't really want it, but the husband wants her to get it?
If he says, I'd like you to do it, and she goes, fine, great, then great. Whenever you're up against your spouse and you're pushing for something they don't want to do, you need to stop. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's oral sex. I don't care if it's whatever the heck the people are pushing. What part of lover forces someone to do something they don't want to do? That's not being a lover.
Right.
So that's a simple question. If you're pushing your wife or husband or something, they don't want to do something, stop. That's what we talked about a few shows ago. Your husband doesn't want you, that lady's writing, my husband's upset because I got this guy on Facebook and mm-hmm. he's being unreasonable. It doesn't matter. If he's saying, I don't like you connecting with that guy, mm-hmm. he might know something you don't know.
That's right.
Knock it off, okay? Well, he's controlled. No, look, when you get married, you agree to be a team. So I don't think a man should force his wife or pressure his wife to get a boob job or anything else if she doesn't want to do it. Again, some are perfectly fine with it, and the husband says, yeah, it's great with me. And mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with it. I just knock yourselves out. So you do keep in mind that it is not just a one-time procedure.
Right. Anything, once you start that, generally you have to keep.
I think, what is it, every 10 years mm-hmm. or so, you got to go back in.
And that's if something doesn't happen in the meantime. Yeah, that you
reinflate the balloons or whatever.
It's got
its issues, okay? Mm-hmm. But in general, I don't have a problem with someone adjusting their appearance. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
You're back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships with Phil and Diane, answering your emails. What hast thou now?
Phil Ann.
Mm-hmm. It's a very confused show.
Mm-hmm. Husband writing says, I love my wife with all my heart. I am loyal and faithful to her. It breaks my heart to say, but I don't, however, think she truly loves me. She had an emotional affair in the past year and flip-flops between saying she's committed to me and then saying she's not committed. She also has talked about leaving me. This has been happening for the past year and a half. They have no children, but she does suffer from depression. He says, what should I do? They've been married for 10 years. They're in their early 30s. First marriage for both. He said they're both Christians and go to church intermittently. She told me the other night she doesn't love me the way I love her, but in the next sentence, she tells me she loves me and I'm her best friend. So she's really flip-flopping.
Yeah, you call it flip-flopping mm-hmm. as it's a character fault. She's not flip-flopping. She's confused. And that's what happens when you start having an emotional affair. And keep in mind, we've talked about this in another show, an emotional affair is not an actual affair. I know a lot of women like to say, yes, it is. No, it's not. It's not. Jesus said it's the same. Before God, it's the same. But it's not literally the same any more than when Jesus said, if you get mad and yell at somebody, it's the same as killing them. You wouldn't go out and actually kill somebody and say, well, Jesus said it's the same. Well, the very next verse is where he talks about adultery of the heart. So Before God, it's a sin. We get it, but it's not literally the same. Don't make the mistake that so many Christians have done, where they put an emotional affair in the same category as an actual affair. It is not the same. If it's the same, the next time you get mad at your brother-in-law, you'd kill him. Okay? Well, it's all the same. It's not the same. It's the same before God, but it's not actually the same. Stop thinking crazily. All right, now, what should you do? Fight for your marriage. She is confused. That's where you stand in and you fight. There's a great article. Is it still on our website?
Mm-hmm.
What is that thing called? Where do you find that?
Those aren't fighting words, dear.
Okay, we're on our website. If you go to laughyourway.com
and go under
resources. And then you'll see.
And then it's the third or fourth one from the bottom. Those aren't fighting words, dear. There's a PDF of the article.
There's a great article in there.
Laughyourway.com under resources.
Great article there. Go read it about a lady who had a husband who was trying to, he was confused too. They hadn't really done anything, but he thought it was over and stuff. And she just fought for the marriage and she saved the marriage. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in this craziness because they will say crazy things. Well, I'm not sure I love you anymore. No, she doesn't love me. Just, she is being attacked. Satan is coming against your wife with all kinds of stuff at this point, confusing her about who she is and where she belongs. This is not where you go, well, it's all the same. It's not.
No, he's not saying that. He wants to fight for the marriage
okay.
and be committed
just,
to it.
I'm just warning him because there'll be people who'll tell him that.
Yeah.
Well, it's an emotional affair, and if you did it in your heart, it's the same as doing it. You might as well divorce her. No, it's not the same. Okay? So fight for your marriage. Hang in there. Read that article. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. All right.
It'll be okay. We're going to be close up against the break here for this one. I think we can start it. Get ready. This one's a little convoluted. She says, I'm 36. I have 5 amazing children. Since I was 8 years old, my body has been a source of pain. My uncle molested me. I was raped twice. And then I married a man, had his 4 children, realized he was a porn addict and abusive and gave me an STD. He left while I was pregnant with child number 4.
What is that about victims always being
victimized,
attracted to other abusers? Here she was abused as a child. Who does she marry? An abuser.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. I think that, this is just my opinion, I think that there's a very strong spiritual component to it. I honestly do. But that's just me.
Oh,
and you see yourself
sense.
As a victim besides. A lot of times they haven't gotten past that and stopped seeing themselves as a victim, so they're easily victimized.
I don't know if this is one of those urban myths or something, but I heard about a study where they got a mixer together, a bunch of adults and stuff like that. And they put a woman in there who had been abused and someone who, in fact, was an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in the same room, that mixer and stuff like that. By the end of the thing, the two had connected.
Mm-hmm.
And
they find
left
each
together.
Other.
It's like a magnet.
Weird.
Well, I've heard where they'll put a row of kids in a line and one of them has been sexually abused and they'll send a pedophile in and the pedophile can pick out the one. I mean, there's just something that these people know, and I think that there's a great spiritual thing to it. That's just me.
All right, so she's got
anyhow,
this problem.
So she got out of this, and then she met another guy who she said, a year later, I met a man I thought was the one God intended for me all along.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
There's your crazy
blah,
thinking.
Blah, 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 okay.
So, of course, now he has porn issues. She found out she has another STD. He says he hasn't cheated. She doesn't know what to do, how to trust him. He's not doing any of the accountability things she's asked. And so she wants help and wants to know what to do with how to trust him and
well,
if there's still hope.
You need to go talk to your pastor and have him confront her. If you're Christian people, are they Christian people?
Mm-hmm.
If she says accountability, that's pretty much a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your church, talk to them and say, hey, help me get this guy in this problem. As for the STD, it is possible that STD that popped up years later.
Yes.
Came from your other husband.
Could have been.
Or someone else, yeah. It didn't necessarily come from your current husband.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Summer, to stay is long enough to make anyone believe that it's never ever gonna go till you feel at leave. Autumn finds a song and cools a fever down. Goodbye to a time.
The music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music, michaelo.org.
The seasons
You're back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Mark Gunger along with Diane Brierley and Philip James Gunger. The man, the myth, the legend. What you got?
Okay, another question about being the spiritual head. First, I would like to thank you for your show. I've been listening for over a year and watch every week on Sky Angel 2. I've also contacted the network multiple times to rave about the show.
So that's good. Fabulous.
That's good.
Your show more of that.
Played a huge part in strengthening my marriage, keeping me focused on bringing the best husband God empowers me to be. Which brings me to the point of my letter. Okay. I posted a question on Facebook asking my friends.
Hey, by the way, tell Sky Angel to put us on daily.
Yeah. We want him every day, not just Saturday.
They just have us weekly. It should be a daily show. All right.
He posted a question on his Facebook asking his friends, many of them pastors, he says, to please tell me where men see called, where men are seen to be called the spiritual head. Naturally, no one.
Say that again. What was the question?
He put a thing on Facebook asking people to put, where do you see in the Bible that the Bible calls men to be the spiritual head?
Got it.
Naturally, no one would give me an answer, just arguments about, do you not think that the man should be the spiritual head? This led to my theory, he says. The Western church is so afraid of the feminist agenda, painting them as chauvinistic by proclaiming the man as head of the household, that it's watered down with a PC, politically correct, compromise. Men are only supposed to be the head of the spiritual life of the house. The feminist agenda throwing a dog a bone, if you will. Naturally, this does not work since men are castrated in all other aspects of the relationship. Your thoughts on this, please. Do you think that that has anything to do with the feminist agenda? And
I don't understand the question. He says, do you think that men should be the spirit? Where does it say in the Bible the man is the spiritual head? And of course, nobody
it doesn't.
And then, but then he's saying he should be.
I think he's saying that that's what the church is saying in compromise because the man can't be the head because the feminists scream and holler.
Oh,
so therefore the church is saying, oh, go ahead and be the spiritual head, even though it's not biblical, just because that's to throw the dog a bone in light of the politically correct
feminist agenda. That's pretty brilliant.
Yes, that's the way I'm reading it.
Yeah, that's real brilliant on his end. I never thought of it that way. Because the Bible doesn't ever say the phrase, a man is the spiritual head of the home.
Right.
It just says he's the head of the home.
Yeah, and they don't want to go there.
And I just think that the churches tend to over-spiritualize stuff. What he's saying is this is the bone that they're throwing at them. Well, you know, he'll be the spiritual head, even though he can't be the head of anything else. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's thought that hard or that
I haven't.
About it. But
so what's his question?
No, he just wanted to know what you think. Is that plausible? Or
yeah, it's plausible.
What are your thoughts on
that? I mean, I look the whole thing differently. I do believe the Bible says the man is the head of the home, whatever that means to people.
Yeah.
But there is no place where it says spiritual head. I don't think a man is responsible to be the most spiritual person in the home. I really don't. And this is, you know, gets people's attention, you know. I use the analogy of kings and prophets throughout the Bible, where the king was the one who was always in charge, but the prophet was the one who heard from God. And, you know, they weren't always the same person. In fact, they were almost never the same person. Moses eventually became the same person, okay? But that was an unusual situation. But even when Moses started out, God said, Moses, you will be like God and Aaron will be your prophet. Mm-hmm. Again, it was always delineated. Eventually, Moses becomes a great prophet at the same time. So he was in charge and the prophetic voice. But again, that's very much the exception. By and far, the rule was, even initially with Moses, was it's shared by two different people. One person is the prophet, the one with great spiritual insights. The other one is the one who makes the final call, who is the leader, king and prophet. In a sense, you got that. Even Jesus being the king, John the Baptist being his prophet that set him up. It's such a powerful concept that even Satan duplicates it in the end, because we hear about the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. This is something that has always been from the beginning. It is very much a biblical concept. The king could never say, hey, wait, I'm the king, I'm in charge, I should be the one hearing from God. Nor did the prophet say, wait a minute, I'm hearing from God, therefore I should be in charge. It was never done that way. They needed to respect each other. I remember Saul got in trouble once for trying to be the spiritual guy and didn't wait for the prophet. And God really got ticked at him. So, and again, a prophet can't just run around saying, well, I'm in charge because I'm hearing from God. It wasn't shared by the same. But yet the church, using, I believe, a false concept that the man should be the spiritual person in the home, has said that men are now both king and prophet. They're putting all of it on the guy. Now, there are exceptions. There are the Moses kind of like guys who are the strong leaders and are, in fact, the most spiritually insight. A lot of pastors and stuff, they're given to the word of God and prayer, elders, leaders. They are, okay? And maybe that's why the church is trying to make everybody like that. But there's no place in the Bible that says a man has to be the most spiritual. What it says is ultimately he's the head and he's ultimately responsible. So what if, in a small way, the men are the ones who are supposed to be responsible for the final call, but the wives are supposed to be the prophets? I will dare say the vast majority of Christian couples that I know, it's exactly like that. She is way more spiritual than the guy. She has more insights, more spiritual concepts in her head. She prays more. She reads the Bible more. She reads spiritual books more. And a lot of them will even tell you they're the ones who seem to have more. God shows them things and opens their minds to things. And then I know these women, they turn around and castigate their husbands, disobeying the Bible at the same time. I love these spiritual people.
Well, because they think that he's supposed to be the head.
I know it. I love how they're disrespectful to the husband because they're so spiritual. They're so full of it. So what they do is they now castigate their husbands and criticize. You're supposed to be, how come I'm hearing from God? You're not, and you don't pray more than I do. You should pray. Stop it. Okay? There's no place in the Bible that says he's supposed to be the more spiritual. If you happen to be more spiritual than your husband, good. Then you're the prophet of the home. It never makes you in charge from a biblical sense. Okay? And just because he's the one who's in charge doesn't mean he's supposed to be the more spiritual. King and prophet. How about we start encouraging the concept of king and prophets in homes instead of coming to one guy and saying he has to be everything so that the wife criticizes him when he's not everything? Who's said he's supposed to be everything? It's an absurd concept anyway. I know people who teach that men are the leader, so he has to handle all the finances, he has to pay all the bills, he has to make all. Says who?
Well,
he's in charge.
To.
Listen, the person in charge doesn't always do much of anything. Go to any company. Go to my company. the guys who make widgets and gadgets and stuff like that. You think the CEO knows how to make those gadgets? He doesn't know how to make them.
Nope.
He doesn't understand a lot of the stuff. It's the guy in the trenches that actually does it. But just because you're in charge doesn't mean you do everything, but you have to take the information you got and you make the important calls.
Mm-hmm.
The president of the United States, any president of any country, usually when they walk in the room, you know, I've heard people make criticisms of Barack Obama. Whenever he walks in, he's the most least qualified guy in the room. Dude, that's true of every president.
Yeah.
Whenever he walks in, he's always the least qualified guy in the room. Who do you think knows more about the military, the president or the chiefs of staff? Seriously, who do you think knows more about the economy, the president or the economic advisors who have PhDs and studied all their lives? Seriously, who do you think knows more about children's issues and women's issues and stuff? The president or the people who've given their lives for these things? These people all know more than the guy in charge. Always have, always will. But at the end of the day, the guy in charge has to listen, takes the information, and he's responsible for the call and the direction of the country. Same in the home. Stop with this. And you pastors, you're not helping these homes by teaching this in your pulpit. The man has to do everything. He has to be the most spiritual. He has to be more insightful. He's the one who has to handle all the details of the home. Hogwash. That is not what the Bible says. It simply says the man is the head. He's the one ultimately who is responsible. It doesn't say he has to do or be anything that most of you are saying he has to be. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
A Japanese.
You're back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got now?
Okay, a totally unrelated unrelated to marriage or relationships question. He wants to know, what kind of music do you like? The genres and the artists. You say any question.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question because I don't have a favorite anything.
I don't really either. There's a lot of things I like, but I don't have a favorite.
I don't have a favorite color. I don't have favorite food. I don't have favorite clothes.
But there's lots of things you like.
I got some favorite shoes, I think. That's about it. Yeah. I don't have favorite music. I don't have a favorite but, you know, people ask me, you know, a lot of times you get with these other pastors, yeah, and they're all these very thoughtful, intellectual men. Well, Mark, who's your favorite author?
Your favorite movie? I don't have any of that.
I don't have a favorite author. Well, who's your favorite pastor? Who does to the most? I try not to listen to any of them.
Right?
You know, I just don't. So I honestly do not have a favorite much of anything. I enjoy life. I got a favorite wife. That's about it. but of all the wives I have, I got one that's one of my favorites.
She's your favorite.
Yeah, top 10%. But no, I don't know. I don't know why. But some people, they really do. They can rattle off their favorite everything. My favorite song, my favorite artist.
No, I can't either.
I can tell stuff I don't like.
That's more what I can do. I can say I like everything except. Yeah, I do not like rap music.
I don't like to eat raw octopus. That's not big on my list. Yeah, it's quite lovely. And I don't like opera music as a recording.
Mm-hmm.
To hear it live, it's quite stunning.
Yeah.
I don't like
Nickelback.
What's Nickelback?
It's a band.
Just throwing that out there.
Apparently, Phil knows I don't like Nickelback. I don't even know what that is. There's all kinds of stuff. I'm not a big fan of rap music.
I don't like or heavy metal,
headbanging stuff. I don't like that either. But
everything else I do like.
Yeah, me too. So everything from rock to pop to country to
old,
gospel
to classical to, I mean, I listen to everything. I really do.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, so I can't answer your question. I don't have a favorite. What was it? Favorite music?
Music.
I don't have a favorite music.
Okay. Genre artists. I don't really either.
You should have said the Mark Gunger CD. I've got a couple of CDs that are really big.
Yeah, those two that Gunger guy recorded.
My favorite artist is me.
Yeah. And, all right. No, that's weird because I thought that I never can answer those. You have like get to know you or icebreaker things or, you know, they want to know even on passwords when you set up something in your favorite. I'm like, I don't know.
Do you have a favorite color?
It depends on what it is.
I struggle with that too.
Yeah, it's like I have a favorite color for certain things I like to wear, for something I'd put in the house. You know, I guess there's just different things.
My best color from what I wear, from what I'm told, even from strangers, apparently if I wear blue.
Blue is good on you.
If I blue or dark blue, I get people I don't even know going, oh my gosh, that's a great color on you. Yeah. So apparently.
My wife likes blue on me.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, so I don't know.
Blue goes real well on you. So, it likes the brighter
blue.
But
again, I can't say it's more well that might be my favorite just because people I get more compliments maybe I don't know but
people say what's your favorite movie, what's your favorite book,
I don't have them.
I mean there's a lot of movies I like but it's hard to pin one down and I hate that when they make you but you have to have one.
Waterworld.
No, I don't.
One of my favorites.
Geely.
I don't even know what that is.
One of my favorite books.
It's awful,
believe it or not.
I know what it is.
Pride and Prejudice.
I know
that sounds so gay. But I just
it's one of the
such
few books you've read, though.
That's true too.
Out of the
two books I've read, I really enjoy it. I enjoy that. I really do. And the movies, and I like that whole genre.
Yeah.
Maybe period thing. I mean, that's why I like
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, you know, just anything period stuff.
It's kind of like whatever my favorite thing is.
But I like Duck Dynasty too. At the same time, I mean, so it's hard to say for me.
What's flipping my switch in the recent is usually what I'll say is my favorite. Like Duck Dynasty, Downton Abbey. That's my favorite right now.
But then
something
different styles
new comes. I know, they're totally.
You could put those two together. You'd have an epic show.
Duck Dynasty or Duck Downton.
Yeah.
Or something.
Something like
Duck
that.
Duck Abbey.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't really have favorites of things. That's weird.
But have you seen Downton Abbey?
Yes, my wife has it on. You two should probably get together and you could have tea and crumpets. And I know, I hear it's wonderful, but I think you need to start from the beginning.
Oh, you do?
You do have to start from the beginning.
If you ever want to come and watch it, I'd watch it with you. I like them that much. I've seen some of them two times, three times.
That's probably a lot of father-son bonding time.
Yeah. There's a gay sounding thing, too. There's all kinds of problems we have here. I don't know. For some reason, I like that stuff. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But
I do, too.
It is what it is, so.
But I like blow 'em up things, too, that a lot of women don't like. Guns and I mean
that's because you're violent.
That's right.
You are a violent person.
I like Walking Dead more.
That one I haven't
gotten into.
Yeah,
that's real spiritual.
I haven't gotten into that. I tried. I didn't like it. It was too creepy for me.
Walking Dead.
I didn't like the zombies. I just didn't like the zombies. Ugly
zombies.
Just nasty. And
what
ugly.
Is it with people and zombies? Why is that such a big deal?
I don't know. That's such a really huge thing now. This big zombie love. I don't get it.
Man, if I turn into a zombie, somebody shoot me.
Can opener. My
no
wife got me.
So are zombies dead or not dead?
They're the undead.
Zombies are dead.
Okay, then
how can they be walking dead?
Well, how can they be walking?
Because they're the
undead. Don't they kill zombies?
You can't kill a zombie.
I can go in through the...
Well, that's what I hear. They're killing zombies.
You have to shoot them in the head, though.
They only
But how can you kill them if they're already dead?
Because they're the undead.
I have issues! I don't understand zombies! I feel like a zombie.
I think we need zombie 101 primer here.
I need a zombie... Primer. Is that what it's called? Okay. Anyway, we'll take a break and discuss zombies in secret and in private. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back with the rest of the show right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
You're on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, relationships, and zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's really important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Phil explained to me zombies.
Yeah.
The zombie show that he watches.
Because
I'm thinking, are they dead? Neither dead. But they got to kill them. Well, how do you kill something that's not alive? It's a virus. It's a
that
virus in the body.
Seem alive.
That it comes alive and all very realistic, I'm sure.
The undead.
Yeah.
So you have to kill the brain, and when you kill the brain, then
you kill the virus.
It well, without the brain, nothing.
So
else
do the virus? Do the zombies think?
Well, they've done experiments.
Boy, him are grandsons.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be my children.
Go get them.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Open the door.
Let him come in. Entrevue.
Hey, Elliot.
Come in.
Hey, come here.
Come in, boys.
Parker.
Come in. Hi, Parker.
Come on, guys.
Hi, Monty.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, these are my
grandsons. Hi, Elliot.
Oh. Where'd he go? They ran away?
The pirate ran away.
Is he dressed like a pirate?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Not today.
Hi, Elliot. Come here. Come say hi to all the people.
He wants to know why we're talking about zombies.
Why are we talking about zombies? Because you guys are zombies.
What people are watching?
What people?
What people?
There are people all over the world watching you right now. See on the screen up here? See on the screen?
And people will see you.
They're seeing you.
They'll see you on their TVs.
Say hello to everyone.
On their computers.
All right, you little monkeys.
Hi.
Hey, Monty.
Get out of here.
All right, you're all grounded. Go home.
Okay, they ask you to come in, then they kick you out.
Oh, we love you. Now get out.
Can we come in?
Well, I just want everybody to see them.
I know.
All right.
They're so cute. So cute. Okay, so are you done talking about zombies?
I guess.
Okay,
although it is a very important subject.
Okay, this has nothing to do with zombies.
Okay.
He says, I heard a few coworkers give advice along the line that not having a joint bank account is a sure sign of divorce within 5 years.
Is that a bank account to buy marijuana?
No.
He said it's a joint bank account.
Because I was going to say we have a joint bank account.
Yeah,
not to buy joints.
Not to buy joints.
Right,
not an account of joints. No.
All right. Okay. So
they say
clear.
That you are not.
Look,
truly
if we're talking about zombies, you got to discuss joints too. All right, go ahead.
They say you're not truly one in marriage unless you have a joint account.
You're not truly one in
that's
marriage.
That's what these people are saying.
If you don't have a joint bank account, okay.
My wife and I have had both had bank accounts long before we met, and we feel like we operate as one, even though they have the separate accounts. I keep hearing the same message from people that joint accounts are so important, so I figure I should get some input from one more person, and that person is you.
No place in the Bible does it say you're not one if you don't have the same bank account.
The two shall become one bank account.
Yeah.
Good grief. If your friends are giving you grief about that, get some different friends. Good grief.
Well, no, it's different.
Of all the troubles in life.
This is your money, and this is my money, and you can't have mine.
Oh, no. If you're hating and you're fighting and stuff.
They get along. They trade the money. They swap it. They have access to each other's.
It's their money. They share it legally. It's both of your money, you know. I don't know. Some people, they're just so anal. What are you going to do? You know, why are you even talking about this? Who talks about their bank accounts to people?
I don't know. I would never.
I don't know. Do you have joint bank accounts? I don't know. I don't care. I think you should sign up all your money to me. Just do that. You should get rid of all of your, right now, should get rid of your bank accounts and send all the money to me. How about we do that?
Put Mark's name on your bank account.
Hey, now that's biblical.
Now that's biblical.
That's Acts right there, my friend.
That's right. Forsake all. Give it to the pastor. Praise God. But no, there's no place in the Bible. If your friends are telling you that, you need some new friends. That's all I got to say.
Because you don't, it's all in the mindset of it. If you're just, you could have one joint account and still be arguing, that's my money. I'm not putting it in there. And you can't spend, you can still have just as many problems if you're arguing about money with one account.
I will say this. People who marry young don't have these problems. They generally just share everything. I bet you these guys were married later in life, and that's why they had two different accounts. And as long as you're not fighting, I don't understand it. My wife and I, you know, we don't fight over these. Now, she does have her own account mm-hmm. that I give her. Just, you know, hey, this is, just put all your money in there.
Yeah.
And I'll pay for everything and then do whatever you want yeah. with it. Buy stuff for the kids and stuff like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's her money. She earns it. But it's still, my money is our money. It's,
yeah.
you know, I don't know. We just never go there.
It's the mindset.
It's one of the benefits of marrying young.
Yes.
You grow into these things. Whereas people coming in, they got everything separate and it gets weird
mm-hmm.
and stuff. I think that's a problem. But to answer your question, you're not truly one in Christ or you're not one in marriage.
And you're not going to have a divorce within 5 years because of it. That's a little bit silly.
If you don't have the same account, mm-hmm. you're not one is an absurd statement, in my opinion.
There's a lot more things that will lead to divorce in 5 years besides bank account.
My wife has her own account.
Yeah.
And then when we got married young, and she worked, she had her money,
mm-hmm.
and she'd keep some of it herself. And that's when she'd like buy things, and hopefully I wouldn't.
She wouldn't realize. Have to show you the receipt.
Are those
then?
New shoes? They're not new. It's not like I got them yesterday.
It was the day before yesterday.
And now it's just.
I've had them for a week now.
Now it's just a running joke.
No, I've had them. You don't have to say how long you had them.
They're not new.
I didn't just get this just now.
I've had these.
That's right. I got like an hour and a half ago.
Okay.
It's a little different.
I've had them for a while. See, that's not a lie. You don't know how long a while is.
Look, everybody can have opinions about it. You got money questions? Write to Dave Ramsey. He knows all about money. But from my opinion, there's no way that someone can make the judgment call to say that you're not truly one because you don't have the same bank account. I just think it's a bizarre, it's a very strange thing. Man, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. No wonder people email us. No wonder they email us. They're absolutely confused. That's why we get these emails, even our psycho show. All right, see ya.
Bye, bye, bye.
Have fun storming the castle.